Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has again given us the tawfiq of this majlis. And after a few hours, again in that same way, with that same blessings, with that same love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to us seated us for His remembrance, for His dhikr. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah says, you remember me with love, then with more love than that I will remember you. If you remember me in isolation, I will remember you in isolation. If you remember me in an assembly, I will remember you in an assembly, a gathering better than that. So it's Allah's fadl, it's Allah's grace. That whose tawfiq is tawfiq of anyone else has the ability to bring Allah's beloved name on his tongue. Millions and millions of other people there are such who on their tongues the word Allah, the name Allah doesn't come. How fortunate are those people, not just their tongues, but their hearts say Allah. How great those people are, alhamdulillah, how great those people are. So all of this, these blessings, the faiz, is due to our mashayikh, our pious elders, and nur, it travels due to nur, and light travels due to light, it passes on. And the real nur, the real light, the foundation of the real nur and the light is Medina, and then his ashab, his blessed companions, the tabi'een, the taba tabi'een, and then the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. And this silsila, this chain, this sequence will continue until Qiyamah. All of this nur originates from Medina itself, that will continue in this way, in this manner, and spread until Qiyamah, Judgment Day. Our Mashaykh Ikram, our respected Mashaykh, pious elders, there are four silsilas, four schools, the main four schools, Qadiriyya, Suhurwardiyya, and Chishtiyya, and Naqshbandiyya. These are the four schools. All four salasil, all four schools, what are these? These four series, these four orders. They're not orders or schools of fiqh, of jurisprudence. Rather, they are four schools of tazkiyah, purification. These four schools are connected to the batin, the inner state of people. And the walis of Allah, the mashayikh, who were in these silsalas, in these orders, in these schools, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to these great people, to these great insan, Allah created them for this very purpose, that the batins, the inner state, the souls of the people of the world, that they will do islah, rectify the people. Just like yesterday evening I explained to you with my humble words, that how important is this subject of tazkiyah, purification, that all external, internal, ibadat, worship, the means to its acceptance, the reason for the acceptance of ideas, the genuine focal point is the purity of a human being. That if a person's impure, then his ibadah is not accepted. So the purity, regards to the beauty, just like there's the bodily purity, Allah Ta'ala has directed us and given us water, Allah created water to pure the body. In reality, water is not to drink. Water is to purify and to clean the inner state so that a person can do ibadah. So with this water, we purify ourselves, our bodies, so that we can stand in front of Allah. In the same way, when you say, so that was to do the amal we do physically, and we have to purify ourselves physically to do those amal. And the other type of amal, the other level for amal deeds is qabuliyat, acceptance. Say subhanallah. One is to do, and the second stage of amal deeds is the acceptance of the deeds, that Allah is accepting the deeds, taking our deeds. So for that you need a complete purification. For that, for the acceptance of deeds, we need complete purification. So bodily purification, if you wash your limbs, you become capable that you can carry out the deeds. Because adhim are the deeds. Deeds are great. And without physical purity, you can't do the deeds. Then to take the deeds to the stage of acceptance, then you have to purify your batin, your inner self, your soul. And in that way, the more your batin is pure and clean, the more in the court of Allah, that salah will be accepted. That fast will be accepted. That hajj will be accepted. And the more the purity, if you are weak in purity, then the same way, the acceptance of the deeds by Allah will be less. It will be less. So both things are very important. Amal And alongside amal, the real objective is that may Allah accept the amal, the deed. So those people who have intellect, those who are ulil albab, the people of understanding, they understood that we don't just restrain ourselves to physically amal deeds and become happy and people praise us, and we don't focus on the real article. The real article is that our amal deeds are going to be presented to Allah. We have to stand in front of Allah. We need to present our deeds to Allah. So those people of wisdom, more than physical worship, they concentrate on their batin, the inner state. Example, they won't be that they'll start doing nawafil. It won't be that they'll start doing voluntary ibadah, or hajj upon hajj, or umrah upon umrah. Lengthy tilawat of Quran. No. Rather, those people of wisdom, they say that rather the deeds can be less, but the deeds should have quality in them. Yes? So this is what Allah Ta'ala wants, and this is Allah Ta'ala's demand, that bring less deeds, but bring beautiful deeds to me, Allah says. Bring quality deeds to me. So the pious elders understood, so they emphasized more on the purity and the cleansing of their batin, their inner state. That doesn't matter what happens, how much we can do, but the five faraid that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, they're so brilliant. After that, you don't need to do too much voluntary prayer or worship. You don't have to do that. What we do, shaitan has deceived us, that he makes us do a lot of nafal actions, nafal extra prayer and worship. But the real thing that we should be doing is to make our deeds accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And shaitan diverts our attention away from that. So he's thrown a weird net out to trap us, so that our pious elders, they've taught us that just as the generations go further away from the Prophet ﷺ, darkness will spread, fitnas will come. Sometime ago you lived in a village and then you came to the city, and there's more fitna in the city. Bigger the town, bigger the city, more fitna, more fasad. And now we have come to such a generation and society that we have to control everything. That's the generation we're in. For this reason, for this work, the mashayikh, our pious elders, Allah Ta'ala created them, and they worked hard to make us understand that even if you just practice the fard actions, even they are strong enough to make you succeed. If you complete the faraid actions and purify your actions and make them accepted, that's the real effort we need to make. And to make your deeds accepted by Allah, to purify them is very hard, is difficult. You'll pray tahajjud, but you can't save yourself from looking at the wrong things. You'll pray tahajjud, but you can't save yourself from backbiting. Thousands of people who pray tahajjud, thousands of people who worship, thousands of those who have ilm and knowledge, but where do they fall down and fail? They can't get out of the dirt of the inner state, the batin. They can't get out of envy or pride or showing off or takabbur. These inner diseases, such a big sin is takabbur, pride. Such a big sin is takabbur. The Allah Ta'ala says there's no bigger punishment than for that person who has kibr, who has pride inside him. Such a big sin is showing off, pretense. That even if a person has an atom's weight of showing off or pretense in his deeds, no deed of his will be accepted. Such a big sin. So let's look inside our own selves, our own lives. So these sicknesses and diseases, they are within our lives. And the mirror will tell you. Because when you look in the mirror to wash away the dirt, you put a mirror in front of you. The mirror tells you your nose is not good and your moustache is not straight. You're not trimmed this correct. So for your inner soul, your batin, you also need a mirror. And the mirror for your inner state is your sheikh, your teacher. The sheikh is such a mirror, your teacher, that you will be ashamed of going to your teacher with your sins. Because obviously he'll make you transparent. Allah Ta'ala makes the shaykh's inner state transparent. Allah Ta'ala's made a medium. Because remember, this practice of a shaykh and a teacher starts from Madinatul Manawwara. Just like Rasulullah SAW and his sahaba. It's the same work of the deen. It's the work of the prophets. The prophets and their disciples. The prophets and their companions. Hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying. So understand the importance of dhikr. Rather than doing too much ibadah and nafal, that's why I stated that it's very essential, important to have a shaykh, a teacher in your life. He fulfills a very big role in your deen. And those students who are sincere, who have an objective, who are fear of Allah, they're afraid of death, they're afraid of the sheikh, of the grave, then when they go to a teacher, they go very carefully, because they follow their teacher carefully, just like the sahaba ikram, the noble companions, followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same style, the same manner. Every word of the teacher is a precious pearl for them. They won't go against that. And those people who are just wasting time and just passing the time, just not serious, not sincere, then those people, they'll hear something in the ear, one ear will go out the other. What the sheikh's saying, they don't practice on it. The advice the sheikh gives, they don't pay attention to it. They're making mistakes, etc. So they are those people who haven't pulled themselves together. So my brothers, this path of being a student, having a teacher, is a very sincere and a tender path, and it will take you straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will take you to Madinatul Manawara. It will introduce you to Allah. Become serious and be serious students. And the way to be a serious and focused person, hopefully you'll understand. Does everybody understand Urdu? What I'm saying? So the demand of being cautious and careful is that you have to follow your sheikh, what he says to you. You have to. The student who is sincere and serious and is focused and is following an objective, then he'll be very serious in following sheikh. The more he is sincere, the more he'll be serious in following his teacher, following the guidance. The objective is not the sheikh. The objective is not the teacher. He is not the end point. The end point is Allah, to get Allah's pleasure. Nothing's. The Kaaba is not the objective. The masjid is not the objective. These are all resources and means that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. All of us have one objective. That is, Allah is our objective. That's it. All of us have a common objective. So in front of us, no one is greater than Allah. Whoever is your teacher, if you have a teacher, then be sincere, follow the advice, the guidance. His guidance will take you to Allah. Take hold of this path robustly. His education, his teachings, what he explains, the teacher. Be sincere on that. If he has defined something as a sin, that you must leave this sin, then give your life efforts and leave that sin, that this sin should be your life. If you are sincere. If you have a focus in life, if you have an objective on your sincerity and being focused, Allah says, "Inna Allaha ma'asineen," that I am with those people who are sincere. So this is a very important and essential path, a very important and essential subject, a very great subject and path, and especially as this dunya, as our generation goes towards more fitna and fasad, then we'll be severely, critically in need of this subject of tazkiyah. The only thing that will save us from Dajjal, the fitna of Dajjal, the big fitnas that have will surround us, and we are in that era now. We are in that generation of Dajjali fitnas. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, don't wait for him. Don't wait for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We have a kitab that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and that kitab is what? Kalam Allah, Allah Ta'ala's kalam, his words, the Quran. We have the tafsir, the greatest commentary of the Quran. We have that. What is that tafsir? Sunnate Rasulullah, the sunnahs of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The sunnahs, the lifestyle, the blessed lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a complete translation and tafsir of the Quran. All we need to do is amal, practice on this, so we don't get deceived. The Shaykh, he will define the path to you. He will demonstrate it to you. Faraid, the fard actions are great. One fard salah if you pray it. If you pray it and fulfill the rites of that salah properly, fard, one fard, just like we've done now. Then the next stage we need to go to is, may Allah accept our fard actions. May Allah accept the salah we've just prayed. So there are two parts. One of those people who say, oh, I've just prayed and that's the end of story. I've done enough. This is some minor action you've just done. Allah's given the second stage of the deed. Pray salah in such a way that I accept it, Allah says. And to make your deeds accepted, what do we need? Just like I said in the last 20 minutes, you need to be pure. You need purity. The more you are pure inside, then the more your salah will arrive to Allah with acceptance. The more. So the name of this struggle, the name of this effort and achievement to attain the acceptance of your deeds equals tasawwuf. Sufism, you could say, people call it today. It's not away from the deen. It's not a new deen. It's not innovation. It's a critical part of deen. Tasawwuf is a part of Sharia. It's not a secondary part of Allah. We say, oh, it's a second deen, tasawwuf, Sufism, doing dhikr. No. Tasawwuf and dhikr is part of deen. Essential part of deen. You're not doing a pious action. Rather, you are solidifying your deen. You're implementing the deen. You're solidifying your salah. Sin. Why does a person get afraid of sin? Why are we afraid of sin? Yes, Allah has given rain. Why are we afraid of rain? You get wet, isn't it? Yes, if there's heavy rain, what do? We take precautions. There are many benefits of rain. There are many benefits of sin as well. That Allah Ta'ala, if He didn't make sin, then we'd be angels. And what would the angels do? But now what are we? We are human beings. And the angels are envious of us human beings. Allah Ta'ala has made us what? Human beings. And the angels are envious of us human beings. Why? Because you have a quality within you as human beings, due to which the angels are envious of you. And what is that? That we think is bad, and that is the sin. Subhanallah. If there was no sin, then the angels would not be envious of us. They wouldn't be proud of us. You'd be an angel as well. You'd also be continuously remembering Allah. But the beauty of the matter is such that Allah's created sin. He's made us ashraf, the superior form of creation. All other forms and creatures, Allah's made the human being ashraf. Not that our nose is beautiful, or our face is beautiful, or our body is beautiful. Allah's made the human being afzal, ashraf al-makhlukat, the superior form of creation. Why? Because Allah's given us the ability to sin. Sounds weird. But Allah says that the person who sins, that individual is very beloved to me, Allah says. Because the person who repents after sinning, Allah says, don't be scared of the sins. Don't be scared of the sins. Rather, if you commit a sin, then immediately do tawbah, repent. And soon as a person does tawbah, Allah Ta'ala says to an angel, see, that's why I made this human being the highest from a creation. That's why I elevated him, that he's left all the places of sins. After sinning, he has believed that my Rabb, my Lord, will forgive me. Then he runs back to me again. He runs back to me again. Is there any child who's disobedient from his parents, from his mother? If there's a son or daughter, they're disobedient of their mother and they run away from home. Then after that, the child comes back and he repents to his mother. What does the mother do? Does she push him away? She embraces the child and she'll give paratha and chapati and gives more food to the child. My son has come back home. My son has come back home. He's asked me for forgiveness. She's proud and happy. She'll tell her relatives and friends. She'll tell his khala that, oh, my son, he's so good. So good, my putar. He's come back. Ma, he comes back running to his mother. He listened to his mother. He loves his mother. So Rabb Allah Ta'ala, his love is more than millions of mothers. Allah is proud. Look at my servants. Look at the human beings. He committed a sin. I gave him the ability to sin. But the greatness is such that he sinned. He came back running to me. Allah save me. Allah save me. Subhanallah. So it's a great simple path. If you sin, do tawbah. Repent to Allah. Then carry on the path. If you sin again and fall down again, stand up. Do tawbah again. Don't give up and lose hope. That tawbah, repentance, elevates your level and your daraja and your status. Yes? Don't think that by sinning you're going down. Rather, the sin, it pushes you and it brings you back up. Just do one action though. One action that keep on doing tawbah. Keep on doing tawbah. The person who does tawbah is like a person who hasn't even sinned. He's like a person who hasn't even sinned. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Just we have one function. Do amal, practice, complete the salahs, give zakat. We need to complete the fard actions, the compulsory actions, keep the fast. Consider these fard actions. Then after that, what you need to consider more. Don't worry about nawafil. What you should consider and worry about more is that I need to purify my deeds and present them to Allah for acceptance. So to purify ourselves and our deeds, the hard work, our pious elders, they established the principles to us. And in that, the four schools, Naqshbandi, Qadri, Chishti, Surwardiya. Basically, there's no difference between these four schools. In every generation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of that generation, Allah created the mashayikh, the walis of Allah, and gave them wazifas, gave them lessons they could teach. In the Qadriya generation, it was the same, similar situation. So Allah Ta'ala elevated Qadariya Silsila and gave the teachings and the dhikr and the shaykhs to the world so that the people could be reformed and improved at that time. In the same way, Chishtiya Silsila, the Chishti school, in the same way, Allah Ta'ala put the qualities and the teachings into the Chishtiya school and the mashayikh and the walis of Allah. Allah Ta'ala put a method, a style of teaching to explain to the people. And then, mashallah, people said, oh, like in India, there was a lot of music and singing at that time. So the mashayikh, they were careful and they had the certain method and manner because there were drums and people were singing and dancing. So to bring those people towards the deen, Allah Ta'ala created ulama and mashayikh who taught those people at that time, according to that generation. So in every generation, there was an adjustment. But it's the same principle. But today, this is the generation, the era of the Naqshbandi school. The Naqshbandi order of tasawwuf. This is Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Today's generation is the Naqshbandi generation. We're in that era today. And that's why this silsila, this order, Naqshbandi order, is connected to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And this silsila, this order, Allah Ta'ala gave right at the end, elevated this silsila, this Naqshbandi school and teaching of zikr and purity. Why? Because the generation that will run till Qiyamah, all of that generation, Allah Ta'ala wanted the Naqshbandi tariqah of purity to be spread in this era until the end comes. Just like Qadariya, we have Wazayif, we have Chishtiya school, we have Wazayif, in the Surwardiya school, the Wazayif, they don't run now. Have you got time? Yes, sorry, you say, I don't have time, I have to sit on the computer, I've got to do work, I'm too busy in this modern era, in this modern age. We've got business, trade, travelling, lifestyles change, everything. Yeah, well, of course it will, and it will change more. It will change more. But Allah Ta'ala's principles and laws are the same. Pray salah, you have to get married, you have to purify yourself, you have to worship, and to purify yourself, you have to do mujahidah. So the wazaif, the teachings of the previous generations, they said, go sit in isolation, go to the wilderness, go to the mountains, do this much dhikr, this many days, do mujahidah, work hard, purify yourself, isolate yourself from the world. And the mashayikh used to teach that in the older days, older generations. Naqshbandi silsila has now come in this modern era. Hazrat Khwaja Naqshband, he went into sajda, our pious teacher, and he closed himself, isolated himself for a few days and prayed to Allah. Allah said, give me such a dhikr, is easy, that I can get your love easy and I can arrive to you quicker and get to your nearness quicker. Maybe easy, Allah, so we don't have to work as hard. So that we can continue to live in the world, we're busy. Allah, give us a dhikr which is easy, so we can get to your nearness quicker and we don't have to work long days and nights and make too much effort. So this silsala, the Naqshbandi silsala, it fits our modern era. We have no time, no problem. You will do the same work in the dunya, just like a person goes in the jungle 40 days, does a chilla, sits in isolation, solitude, used to eat leaves and leave the food and water to please Allah, to purify himself. Today Naqshbandi runs his business, runs trade, drives a taxi, and when he remembers Allah in his heart, then he gets a higher grade than that person of the previous eras. Higher grade. SubhanAllah. And he is following that same ayah, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ لَا قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. That every action that you do, you should be remembering Allah. That's the objective. You keep on remembering Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll keep on purifying you. You keep on remembering me, Allah says, I'll keep on purifying you. So this silsila, the Naqshbandi teaching of dhikr, it fits this day and age. And it's very easy. Even a young child, if he starts washing himself, even from 12 years old, age, alhamdulillah, by 21 years old, he can become a wali Allah. You can college, university, go become a doctor, engineer, follow any profession, spread yourselves out. Spread yourselves out. This dunya is ours. Do all business, occupation, trade, do what you want. But don't forget Allah. Your hands and body are in the world, but your heart's attached to Allah. Keep your hands to your work in the dunya, but connect your heart to Allah. This is the Naqshbandi tariqa. You're living in the world, you're working, trade, family, you're busy, but your heart is attached to Allah. That's the Naqshbandi teaching of dhikr. So first, for example, you have the parda in the house and then you have the parda outside. And people say that there's that today that there are people walking around naked in the world and your eyes, how can you save them? The silsila will continue. But Allah Ta'ala, the person, the more he does dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah in his heart, then his eyes, they submit to Allah. And haya, modesty comes into his eyes, his life. And he has a recognition of the sins and he's aware of the sins. And then he follows the tariqah, do tawbah, ask Allah for forgiveness and carry him. So my brothers, this is the silsila, very fit. It's not crying, oh, complaining we're in this country, it's too hard, I can't practice Islam. It's the same Sharia, same laws of Allah. They won't change. We can't complain and make complaints and make a fuss. The deen that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought, we have to follow the same Sharia, whether it's a sister or a brother. Wherever a woman goes, she has to observe parda, she must hide her face, she must hide her body, her hands, her arms. But how do we save from the impurities around us? Via dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah will give us the power and ability. Could you ever imagine that you'd wear imama, your children wear imama, you'll keep the beard, you'll wear the sunnah libas? Never. The heart became alive, it became illuminated, and your deen became easy to practice. So now if you don't do it, if somebody tells you trim the beard or shave the beard, you'll say, impossible, I'm not going to do that now. That if he says, I'll give you £100,000, shave the beard. And he says that, I'll give you £100,000, don't tell me to shave the beard. He says, you won't get a job, don't keep the beard. He says, no, I must keep the beard. Where's the love come from? Because the heart is pure. You have the love for the sunnah. Your heart becomes pure, you love salah so much that will be desperate to pray salah. So we don't take the root. The word we strengthen our deen, we speak from above. Pray salah, pray salah, pray salah. Okay, you made somebody pray salah. You made somebody pray salah, but you haven't established his salah, have you? He's prayed salah, but he hasn't established salah. To establish it, you must do the other action, that do tabligh to people to practice, but take their deeds to the acceptance level. Say subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. It's not something to argue about, it's a very good thing to discuss and understand that we're inviting somebody to salah, but alongside that in parallel, you're inviting him to purify his heart, to invite someone to pray salah, but purify yourself, otherwise your salah won't be accepted. Go to that pond, go to that well, and dive into that well, into that swimming pool, and you will purify your deeds. The Shaykh says, that I am an ocean. The teacher says, I'm an ocean. Why are you standing on the banks? Come dive into me so I am pure and I'll purify you as well at the same time. Yes, why do you look at me from far away, says the teacher. Why are you observing a wali Allah from far away? Come close to the teacher and dive into the ocean of the teacher. He's pure and he'll purify you as well at the same time. SubhanAllah. So don't, if you look from a distance, you won't enjoy that scene. Come close to the scene and follow the guidance of the teacher. Travel with him, become mukhlis. Be sincere. And how should we be mukhlis? That I want to love Allah. I want to get near to Allah. I want to earn paradise. Allah says, when you sin, then you're doing zulm on yourself. You are oppressing yourself. That such a big wasila means of the, I'm not speaking about myself, I'm talking about the pious people, the walis of Allah. You're leaving the walis of Allah, the teachers, and you sit from far away and you keep looking. Oh, it's good dhikr. Oh, they're good people. So what are you doing as an individual? What are you doing for yourself to improve yourself? These examples that you're looking at and you're praising, they won't make you succeed. They are those people who understood the objective of life. They are those who are the ulul albab, the people of wisdom, the people of dhikr. Why does Allah call them people of wisdom? Because they've understood that no deed of ours without dhikr can it be accepted by Allah. No deed can be accepted by Allah without dhikr. They understood that. So you individuals should also understand the objective. Why do we do dhikr? Why are we advised to do dhikr? What's the importance of dhikr? So don't deceive yourself. And your shaykh, his teacher, his education, that mashallah, there are more than 2,000 probably bayans I've given. So your method is such that if you're a serious student, we're human beings, you can get deceived, fall down, you're in a taxi, you're driving, you haven't got time, you're living in the dunya, in this busy world. Even then, why should you waste time? Very simple method. Don't listen to anything. Don't listen to anyone's speeches. No need to listen to anything else. Your sheikh, who is your GP, your general practitioner, go to him regularly. Yes, people when they go to hospital, the first question they'll ask you at the hospital, who's your GP practice? Why don't they ask you that, which doctor did you go to? They ask, say, who is your GP, your general practitioner, when you go to hospital, when you register? And they'll get the report from the GP. So Allah will ask you, who was your GP? Speak about him. Your teacher, your guide. So 2,000, I think maybe more than that, can't even keep count now. Why are there that many talks and bayans? For this reason, every day put a bayan in your life. And consider yourself weak, that if a person who thinks I'm fine, I'm pious, I'm perfect, he can never be cured. He can never be improved, that student. Understand? So it's a very simple method that even while you're changing your clothes on the phone, just press the phone and go to the site, you're changing your clothes, and 5 minutes to change your clothes and get yourself ready to go out. And that 5 minutes, if you listen to the bayan, you'll hear such advices that will make your day beautiful. So I've told you, isn't it? Naqshbandi tariqa, it will not prevent you doing anything in the world today. It will continue to make your deen progress. The Naqshbandi tariqa advises, don't wait a minute. Fit the site into the phone, our site. And whenever you are doing an action in the dunya during the day, go onto the site and press play, listen to the bayan. Your ears are listening, you're changing clothes, you're working, occupation, business, and you're receiving the message from the bayans, from these talks. If you say, no, I'll sit with these at home in the evening with a cup of tea, and then I'll hear speech of Hazrat Gramika, that no one should be in front of me. That generation we're not living in now, that's not the Naqshbandi era, that's some previous old time. Naqshbandi dhikr teaches us not to waste time. Listen to all the bayans easily. If you implement this formula I've given you, catch this, grab this formula I've given you, that from today, I'll start from bayan number one. Every murid should have this duty. 10,000 times you'll listen to the bayans, 10,000 times the message will come to you, and it will make you alive. Until today, my habit is such that my sheikh's words, without listening or reading to my sheikh's word, I cannot spend any day of my life. Why? That's me. And I say this clearly, that years have passed, decades have passed. Every single day I get a new message from the writings and the bayans of my teacher that he gave to me. My teacher. Every day I get a new message. This is my method. That's why we take the hands of the teacher, the sheikh. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Naqshbandi subject and order, it's not hard for us. Our pious elders who came before us, Naqshbandi Islam, their messages, we revive them, remind them. So why we sat here, why we doing dhikr? The reason why we're doing dhikr, we do dhikr silently. We don't say loudly. We don't say la ilaha illallah loudly. We don't give lengthy speeches, not lengthy tasbihs, not lengthy dhikr or azkar, nothing. We have just one action. Bow your head, go into your heart, and remember Allah's name in the heart. That's it. Lose yourself in Allah's name. And continue to do that. Wadhkur Rabbika. What does the Quran say? Allah says, remember me with my name. And remember me in such a way that detach yourself from the world while you're remembering Allah. Detach yourself. Detaching doesn't mean leave the world or run away from the world. No. That Allah says the dunya should come out of your heart. Detach the dunya from your heart. Say Allah, Allah, and carry on with your work in the dunya. Say Subhanallah. So this method that we do, we start dhikr, this is called khatam-e khwajgan. So when we start the gathering, I'm just explaining to you in a simple way. So khatam means that you're doing dhikr and you're asking Allah to deliver the thawab, the reward to our pious elders via Quran, the verses of the Quran, sadaqah. Any good action you do, recite Surah Yasin, you ask Allah to give the reward to your father. Allah, I've done Surah Yasin, give the thawab to the souls of my relatives. So yesterday I explained to you, Alhamdulillah has given us such a system that we fulfill this sunnah, that anyone gives you a gift, so what should you do? You should do dua for that person, if someone gives you a gift. So if you're a sheikh, if he gives you a gift and he gives you dua, like I said, we recite durood and we send it to the Prophet ﷺ, then he responds by giving us a dua. This is a system. So what we're doing today, before we do dhikr, silent dhikr, we do khatam khwajgan. This is the tariqah of this Naqshbandi silsila. We're not people who don't remember the favors. First, we repay the favors of our pious elders and mashayikh who taught us the deen, who taught us dhikr. So before we go to silent dhikr, we do khatam khwajgan, we ask Allah to send the reward to our pious elders. This is tariqah of Naqshbandi order. That every sheikh in our silsila order, there's a specific verse that's assigned to him. We'll recite that verse, and they're very precious verses of the Quran. And they come from Kashf, that this sheikh, through this verse, you recite this verse and ask Allah to give the reward to that sheikh. And then what does the Naqshbandi order do? The first, that verse of the Quran, we recite it and ask Allah in the gathering to give that reward. All our pious elders, in the name of those previous teachers, those verses are assigned to those teachers. Yes, they had the quality that's linked to those verses. So we commit, we recite that. So we sit, first and foremost, we recite the verses and kalimats for those mashayikh al-Quran, those people of specific verses, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. This is attached to a certain teacher, and you can learn this from the kitabs that we've written and published, that which verse of the Quran, which kalima is attached to which of the previous sheikhs. So when we recite those verses, then the thawab, the reward goes to that teacher. Definitely. When the thawab arrives to that teacher, then from there the faiz starts to descend. The blessings start to descend. Yes? And his faizan, where does that descend to? His nur, the light of the faiz of our previous teachers, comes to the heart. In the heart that you're doing dhikr in, alhamdulillah. So this is the method. That's why we do khatam khwajgan first. We recite the verses, kalamas. This is not a tradition. This is not some innovation that we're sitting down, piri, muridi, we're showing off. No, this is a tariqah, a method that's been prescribed. Yes? So you can do dhikr loudly, khatam khwajgan. That is not a Naqshbandi teaching of dhikr. When we do khatam khwajgan, we're not doing Naqshbandi dhikr. We're just reciting du'as and verses to send the thawab to our pious elders. Just like you recite Quran loudly and quietly. Same ways in it. So both ways Allah has given salah as well. Fajr you recite loudly, Dhuhr you recite quietly. Maghrib you recite loudly, Isha you recite loudly, Asr salah you recite quietly. Not loudly. So this tartib Allah has given. So same way you can recite Quran loudly, you can recite quietly. There's no difference. So with this niyyah, when we do dhikr in the beginning, yes, my colleagues themselves, these angels, mashallah, they say, Hazrat Sahab, that these kalamas, Naqshbandi says, this is not dhikr of Naqshbandi, this is like the khatam khwajgan you do in the beginning. This is chishti and qadriya dhikr that you're doing in the beginning. Loudly do dhikr. This is not dhikr that we are doing isal. We're just doing loudly or quietly. When you're doing isal eswab, you can send it. So sometimes we do it loudly, khatam khwajgan, sometimes we do it quietly. The initial dhikr we do, reciting the verses and kalmas. Why do we do it loudly? For this reason, that alhamdulillah, there's just been doing dhikr loudly. There's passion. Because the verses of the Quran that we're reciting, so when you recite it loudly, it creates a passion and an awareness and understanding. And you remember this, that which sheikh, for whom are we sending the thawab and we're reciting this verse for? So nothing is wrong. Everything, inshallah, of the Naqshbandi silsila is according to the Sharia and the Sunnah. Nothing is against the deen. Nothing. Because Ahya-i Sunnah, the tariqah of reviving the Sunnah, most of all, from all the silsila, the Naqshbandi silsila revived the Sunnah more. The first sign of a Naqshbandi teacher is a student, if he's mukhlis and sincere, the first thing he'll learn is to practice the Sunnah in his life. Why? Because this order, Naqshbandi order, goes back to Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu anhu. Without the Sunnah, a student cannot be a Naqshbandi student. His style of life, his effect of life, his manner of life immediately becomes that of the sunnah. He doesn't see it as a wajib, necessary, not necessary. Rasulullah sallam, you understand, you learn, he wore white, or it's not haram to wear black, it's not haram to wear other colors, it's not haram, nothing wrong, no color is haram. Yes, that, can you not wear the imamah of another color? You can wear green, you can wear other colors, whatever color you want to wear, it's up to you. They're all colors of the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, and he wore different colors. But the best, the color that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ liked, the best, most was the white color. And the sign of that, you will see two important times in the life of a person. Two important times in the life of a person that Allah Ta'ala has given. That when Allah Ta'ala, His nur is there. One is when a person goes to do Hajj. Then at that time a person, he becomes so unique and his form changes, his outwardly he changes, inwardly he changes. And even the biggest king of the world, but when he goes to do Hajj for the ibadah, Allah says that take the clothes off. Bear yourself and you wear the ihram. You don't know, is he a king or is he a poor person? And what does Allah Ta'ala like at that time? The libas, you should take your normal clothes off and wear the white color ihram. That's preferable. And the next time is when a person's dying and he's going to the court of Allah. And Rasulullah said, what color did he like at that time? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the white color at that time as well. The white shroud at the time of death. So this color, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked this color. Always his imamah, he wore other colors as well, it's proven. But he preferred this color, the white. So the Naqshbandi tariqah, they are lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Naqshbandi teachers and the students, they don't leave the past. They say all colors are preferable and they'll feel like doing it. But when he starts to wear it, he says, Nay yaar, Rasulullah ﷺ, he wore the libas. And it might be right now I do such an action and I succeed. Okay, I'll wear this color at this time. So this color, he gives priority more in his life. All the actions he'll give priority, those actions that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he liked more, preferred more. Yes, it's not, if you say it's wajib or it's fard, we don't have this niyyah. Just for the love of Rasulullah ﷺ, just for that purpose. Do all things, all sunnahs, but a unique nur will come out of you when you do nakal and imitate according to the lifestyle of Rasulullah ﷺ. So Naqshbandi silsila, the miracle of this, the greatness of this silsila is that the beginning of this silsila is from the sunnah. And the achievement of this silsila is that no action of a Naqshbandi student is against the sunnah. All his deeds are according to the sunnah. So if your sunnah is amal, is sunnah upon sunnah, then will his lifestyle go against the sunnah? Yes, and if a person, he's not following the sunnah, will he get close to Allah? If a person's doing innovation, can he get close to Allah? So then how did this many people who are Naqshbandi students, did they get close to Allah? So this is wrong propaganda. People who say today that Naqshbandi is wrong or innovation. Why? I say they're wrong because they haven't understood until today. Open your eyes, look physically at the students, look at the effect of the teachings, understand reality. Reality. So, doing dhikr loudly is not bidah. It's not innovation. It's not wrong. Khatam Khwajgan that we do in the beginning. I'm saying for this reason, there's nothing to be go against or have doubt. You can do dhikr loudly and you can do it quietly. So we're doing dhikr loudly in the beginning because we're sending the thawab to our pious elders. And then the real dhikr that we'll come to at the end, we don't do that loudly. That's not done loudly. That a person immerses into his heart, Allah. And that for hours you can do. That's the real dhikr, which we call dhikr khafi, silent dhikr. And we do our lataif lessons in the heart. You can't say that loudly. That has to be silent. That is only in the heart and has to be silent. That's the real crux of dhikr. And with that dhikr in the heart, a person gets closer to Allah, closer to Allah. And this is our, we are repaying the favor to our pious elders, just like they delivered the deen to us, they taught us the deen. So before we do silent dhikr, we recite kalamats and du'as and send the thawab, ask Allah to give the thawab to them. And then after that, their rahmah, their blessings come. And then we come after that, that Allah Ta'ala, He likes an action very much. That my pious servants who love my mashayikh, walis of Allah, I love them so much, Allah Ta'ala says. That if you love the walis of Allah, Allah says, if you want my love, ask for my love. But those who love me already, the walis of Allah, the sheikhs, love them first, Allah says. Allah says, told us himself. Why? Because if you love pious people, then automatically I will love you as well, Allah says. Yes, that's the repayment. So that's the step number one. So always have love for the walis of Allah, pious people, good company. If you haven't got the love, then ask for that in your dua. Allah, give me the love of your pious servant. Make me lost in the love of your pious servant. So that you're walking, talking, traveling the world. Always that you're thinking about your teacher. So this is the sign that you're close to Allah. It's a sign that you're close to Allah. Whoever loves the wali Allah, then definitely Allah Ta'ala loves that student. If you have the desire, if you have doubt though, if you have whispers in your ears and negative thoughts and bad thoughts, then Allah is far from you, definitely far from you. Then do du'as, plead to Allah, give sadaqat, ask Allah for His love. Allah, give me your love, I need your love, I'm desperate for your love. Allah, you've given me the means, which is the company of the mashayikh. And Allah, the shaitan is taking me far from my teacher. So strengthen the love with your teacher. Hopefully you'll have understood what I've told you about the Naqshbandi order. And this is the Naqshbandi order introduction, explanation a little bit. Okay, now we'll do Khatam Khwajgan. We'll recite the verses and the kalimas and ask Allah to give the rule to our pious elders. Then we'll do Dhikr Khafi. Some people done Dhikr Khafi during the night. If there are some left, then inshallah, after this Dhikr session, I can teach you Dhikr. Those people who want to learn Dhikr Khafi. And learn dhikr for sure. Learn dhikr is critical, and do dhikr with tartib. And the principles of our silsila, fulfill them. They are unique principles of our silsila. Listen carefully. Those students who are bayah with me, who are already students with me, the actions you need to do, let me explain to you what you need to do. Number one, you need to repent from the sins. Leave the sins. Number two, straight away wear the libas of the sunnah. Straight away, wear the libas of the sunnah. Bring the libas of the sunnah into your life. Number three, grow your beard. Keep the libas of the sunnah. You must pray salah. And yes, it is permission for this, that if you work in your place of employment or business, there's restrictions for uniform. You can do that. But away from work, in your free time, and other times where there's no necessity of work attire, then wear the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ's libas in your life. But at the time of need, okay, I give you ijazah. Obviously, if you're a policeman, you have a uniform. You have to wear the police uniform. You work in such a place, there's a condition, a rule, you must wear the uniform. Sharia gives you permission that you can wear that libas. Yes? So if you don't wear, you're not wearing their uniform. Rather, it's just for that work to fulfill the rules, you're wearing that uniform. Soon as you come out of work, then you wear your libas, sunnah libas, straight away again. Imam, a blessed turban, beard, and white dress, white libas. This is our sign. Number two. Number three. Tazkiyah sheet system. Connection with your teacher. Also see here, what a brilliant system. There are thousands of miles, maybe you're far from me. But as long as you have the connection, if you don't have the connection with the teacher, you can't travel on this path to Allah with the teacher. As Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, most of all, he got the greatness from all the Sahaba. He was closest to the Prophet. His level was the highest. Not due to ibadah. Not due to worship. All the Sahaba, many of them, they used to spend and do ibadah. There was no other quality in the other Sahaba that Abu Bakr Siddiq didn't have. But Abu Bakr Siddiq became greatest because of his strong connection with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, but he was the friend in the cave. Remember this. Such a company, nobody else got. Hazrat Ali, Umar says, please let's do a bargain. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says to Abu Bakr Siddiq, let's do a bargain transaction. Take all my deeds of my life and give me that night you spent with the cave with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give me that. He was desperate for that. Why? Because he knew that without sohbat, without the company of the teacher, you will not get benefit in this silsila, in this school. So you are in the Naqshbandi school, you are in the scientific age. So Naqshbandi silsila uses the scientific age and technology and devices that even if your sheikh is hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away, in Naqshbandi silsila, there are women and men. How do you get the fares, the blessings of the teacher? But it's conditional, critical to have the company of the teacher. So Allah has given us the tazkiyah sheet system, which is online. Every student is connected to his teacher through the sheet system. So when you have the sheets every day, when you're completing your sheets, you're thinking about your teacher. And Allah's rahmah, mercy is coming to you because you're sat in the company of your teacher and you're completing the sheets at that time. So when you're completing that sheet, you are completing that condition of the company of the teacher. The more the company of the teacher you get, the more the fares, the blessings of the teacher comes to you. And your lataif, your inner self becomes illuminated and higher. And you get such a maqam that himself, the teacher, the student can see his status. So our progression and promotion is due to sohbat, company of the teacher. The method of company of the teacher, every day you complete your sheets, you're not sinning. Oh, look, I'm not going to commit the sin in the day, I've got to complete the sheets in the night. And then my sheikh, my teacher will see the sheet. All day long you'll be cautious and then you take the sheet. For every murid, the student, woman or man, brother or sister, it's lazim you enroll on the tazkiyah sheet system. Look at how we use the technology today. So every student today has a phone, Everyone has, isn't it that everybody has a phone nowadays? iPhone, everybody's got other phones. So you can install the app of the tazkiyah sheets in your phone, and in your phone, you've got the sheets in the shop, you can complete the sheet. You're in the plane, you can complete the sheet. Wherever you are, every second, every minute, you've got the company of your teacher, sohbat of the sheikh, subhanAllah. So three things, if you do this with humility, sincerity, number one, the dhikr that your teachers prescribed to you, follow that sequence and do it morning and evening. No mujahidah, no hard work, no nafil is given to you, no fasting is given to you, nothing extra, do it or not doing it. We have one duty, that purify yourself. Lower your gaze, purify your eyes, purify your tongue, your breath, your inner state, then pray salah. Then pray salah. One fard salah is enough for success. One fard salah, like that. For the, just concentrate on, focus on purification. Don't deceive yourself. Thousands of hajjs you don't need. One hajj in the life is enough. If that hajj is done with purity, subhanAllah, one hajj is enough for the whole life, no more is needed. The whole life, one hajj purity is needed. Purity. Purify yourself and do the hajj. And you go and embrace the Kaaba. And you know you go and embrace, you know the tariqah, the method of embracing. When you go then you embrace the Kaaba with purity, the whole life long you feel the taste of the hug with the Kaaba. The Kaaba, every pure man who embraces the Kaaba, that effect, the fares will run for the rest of your life. Salah comes, the fares comes of the Kaaba to the Salah. Remember this. So my brothers, you, my colleagues, you've got a connection with me. Strengthen this connection. There's no guarantee of life. My life, your life. Will we meet again? Allah knows best. But this silsila, until your death, prepare for your death properly. Prepare for the day of resurrection and day of judgment and thereafter. We don't want dunya. We don't want to become a teacher. You don't want to become a wali Allah. You don't want to get visions and dreams and karamats and miracles. You don't want to give speeches. Nothing at all. You want to prepare for your death and for the day of resurrection and day of judgment. That's it. Every ibadah, may Allah accept it and bring it into the level of purity. So I'm hopeful you understood my words. I gave you extra time, but these are all my murids, my students. It's my haq, it's my right upon you that I explain these points to you, so these points can come into your mind, so that your waswasas and shaitani thoughts can get eradicated. Now we'll do khatam khwajgan, then we'll come to the real dhikr, which is dhikr khafi, the silent dhikr, and inshallah after that dua, then you can go depart towards your homes, just like the birds fly. All day long the bird flies, eats, drinks in the world. In the evening, he goes back to his nest in the tree. So your job is the same. Day, you work, working, employment, business. In the evening, you come back and immerse yourself in the dhikr of Allah. Morning and evening, the tasbih, the teaching I've given you, sit down and remember Allah. Women and men, all of you. Your houses will become full of nur. Your heart is full of nur. Your dunya will be made. Your grave will be made. And Allah will become happy and pleased with you. A very simple method. Then there's no, doesn't matter where you are, America, Canada, Europe, France, Germany, wherever you are, everywhere, Naqshbandi is a Naqshbandi, no difference. Okay, let's start. Dhikr of Allah. Recite the Rusul.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-Mursaleen, shafi'i al-Muslimin, ad-Rahu wa yasin. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ولا عليك رحمة لك وجهك تسليما دائما ابدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حصلنا وجدنا خطبنا اخذنا اول اسلام اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما طال به انت القدوة لا اله الا انت لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من السبحين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك لا اله الا انت العليم الكريم سبحانك كل شيء رب السماوات والارض لا حي يا قيوم برحمتك اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وصلنا حزلنا وجدنا خطبنا مولانا عبدا سبحان وصف القيب الكبرياء والعصمه والخلق والعلم مبلغ الوسط والسلام الاخر والشرع والسلام اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره صدقا وصدقنا عذاب القبر ومن عذاب الحشر ومن عذاب الميزان ادخلنا جنه اعمال بلا يا عزيز اللهم نسلك الافلاك والعافات في الدين ودنيا الاخره اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا والاخره اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في امور كليه وجنا من خزي الدنيا انا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك انا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا اللهم نسألك صحة في إيماننا والإيمان في حسن خلقك نجاة ورحمة منك وعافية وقدر الله يا اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم نبيين صدقين شهداء وصالحين وحسن أولئك نبيين اللهم استقبلنا في سنة الدين فما في محبته واجعلنا في سنة اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك ربنا آتنا نورنا واغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم اجعل في قلبنا والسمعنا والبصيرنا والخلفنا والإيمان فاحفظنا صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وعليه صحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين امين.